Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
You're all very welcome back to the programme. One of the texters got in touch about that, the rats dancing and beating their wee heads, and said, if scientists had also gauged the reaction of rats to Michael Jackson's song Ben, as well as to Beat It, because Ben is a song from a film in which a teenage Jackson plays a boy that befriends a rat called Ben. I can't believe they didn't think of it. I actually think that it is... they should have played Ben, probably should have played Ben, just to see how they would have emotionally reacted. But from Ben onto something entirely different. Earlier this week, the actress Jennifer Aniston opened up on the years of scrutiny over her fertility, admitting that she had undergone IVF. And she talked about the modern day narrative that women are seen as selfish if they don't have children. And to talk about this, I'm joined by Eimear McGlaisett, Irish Times columnist and co-author of the very successful Aisling series of books, and a self-confessed happily child-free. I'm also joined by social worker Eileen Riley, who's 51, lives solo and doesn't have children. Very, very welcome to you both. Even that phrase, child-free, is contentious. But can I maybe start with you, Eimear? Like, I mean, there have been, I can think of no one in the last 20 or 25 years who hasn't been scrutinised, almost like in a medieval way, over her fertility and her, you know, her menstrual history, maybe for want of a better word. They've been following Jennifer Aniston in a way that just now and then just seems so cruel.
Yeah, I remember back in my 20s, we used to joke, not in a cruel way, but in a just kind of a almost seeing eye to eye with her way. We used to call her poor childless Jen, because that was all any tabloid, any headline, any story about her ever used to say. It was like it defined her. And when she married Brad Pitt, it was like, when will they have Hollywood's most beautiful baby? And then when that didn't happen and he, you know, quote unquote, left her for Angelina Jolie, it was like, oh, well, Angelina's giving him babies. Like, what a gross way to kind of categorize a woman's life. And she's come out now, I think she's in her early 50s, and said she did want to have children. And I think I had kind of assumed that about her. I don't know why, even though it was never publicized in any way. But I guess I was like, I guess she probably did want to have children, but it was none of our business. But yet she had to put up with that.
And it was
commentary.
Nobody's business.
It was nobody's business. Mm. Yeah.
You, Eileen, you know, for you, like, for me, when I kind of heard her and saw those remarks, you know, it was almost like, you know, those old kind of days in royalty where they checked, you know, how far along people were, did they have babies or not. The scrutiny on her was just, it was grotesque.
Yeah, I, and same as Eimear, I remember that, you know, and I remember even being curious myself and feeling guilty for feeling curious, as if that was something that I was aware that everybody was very interested. There were many conversations going on about that. And I suppose my own experience was, you know, as a single person, a person who wasn't in a relationship, coming towards my 40s, I was aware of the invisibility around fertility issues that might pertain to women who are not in intimate relationships. And that was quite, in some ways, a privilege. I felt I was able to kind of fly under the radar because questions weren't being asked, certainly directly of me.
But did you feel that, the ticking clock was not so much ticking, but also being thrown at you by society?
I think so. I suppose I felt it more internally, that I had to feel like kind of a finite period of time, a short period of time in which I would either become a parent biologically or not. And I felt that that's the pressure that I felt. And that was very, very difficult. Yeah.
Eimear, you sort of describe yourself as child-free by choice. So can you maybe even just go on your own, you know, journey with that?
Yeah, so I was never a person who was like, I can't wait to have children, or I'm definitely going. I think when I was younger, when I was a teenager, I was like, yeah, I'll do that thing of where I get married and have children at some point. I didn't put a whole lot of thought into it. And then as I got older, I found myself not really gravitating towards the idea of having children and not really being that into it. But I used to think, like, if I met someone and I really loved them and they really wanted to have children, I'd be happy enough to do it, I think. And then as I got a bit older, it just was like, I'm kind of glad that I don't have this want to have children, because it made things a little bit easier for me. I felt like I wasn't kind of striving, as you were saying there, about this clock that women feel that they have. I wasn't going, oh, I'm running out of time. I was more content to just be like, okay, I'm not going to have children. totally fine with that, actually kind of pleased with that. So in a way, that has felt kind of easy and content for me. But in another way, I do feel this kind of, I don't know if it's societal or biological, where I have this kind of guilt that I haven't wanted to have children and I haven't had children. I'm kind of like, like in the grand scheme of things, my body is made to have children and I haven't done that. And what is my purpose if not to have children? Like, it's that very base kind of evolutionary thing, I guess.
Yeah. And for you, you know, Eileen, the, you know, child-free kind of makes it sound as if it's casual, you know, as if you kind of don't care. But of course, there are large proportions of the population here and elsewhere who don't have children. And it seems that it's a very, very broad spectrum. Some of it is by choice, some of it is because they couldn't. Maybe they didn't meet the right partner. Maybe just they couldn't have children for medical or other reasons. Did you have a broodiness? Did you have a grieving process? Did you want kids?
I think probably kind of in my you know, my 20s and the first half of my 30s, I didn't. I wasn't, you know, it wasn't something that I was thinking about or planning for. And then when I came into my late 30s, I started to feel an intense broodiness, which I think was something to do with the fact that I realised time was short. It was going to be now or never from a biological point of view. Of course, you know, there are other routes to parenthood and to having a life that involves children that I could have considered. So I did experience it, and I experienced it as a very, if you like, intense grief. And, you know, before I came on the show, I reread a piece that I wrote when I was 40. And in the piece, I talked about how, you know, going to bed crying because my mother wasn't holding my child. I wasn't able to give her that.
I remember
crying for
that.
Both of us. And, you know, I was surprised 10 years on. Here I am now, 51. I completely forgotten that. So I went through a grief and I came out the other side of it. And I now feel very content, very happy, very well, being a person who is not parenting. I have my family looks different to other families, but it's wonderful and it's full and it's rewarding.
And Eimear, can I ask you about that? Because whether you're male or female, whether you have children or not, we all go on a fertility journey. It's sort of part of that, you know, biology, that human physiology. That pressure that you felt, to what extent was it internal as well as maybe external and coming from the social expectations and people thinking there's something wrong with you if you're a single woman with no children?
I think I would say maybe 60-40, so 60 internally and 40% more so, because I think people see it as the relationship comes first and then they start hassling you about babies. So I've been single for a good few years now, so I would have gotten more of the, you know, any men and what's going on, do you have any relationship? And I kind of bristle at that a bit. And as I've gotten older, you know, I'm in my early 40s now, don't get it as much. I think people kind of get the hint and they're like, so like it's not that like it's a rude question. Well, it is kind of rude, but like I wouldn't ask a person in a couple like, how's your relationship going? How's your sex life? Like, it's a two-way street, so I don't think it's anyone's business really. But I do, I have a very good friend who's in a long-term relationship, committed relationship, neither of them want children, and she has been hassled to high heaven about where, you know, what's the story, would you not have a little, and you know, and it's only now that she's in her mid-40s that that's kind of stopped. And it's just like, get a new hobby, get something else to talk about. Like, I would never ask anyone about their fertility status, their relationship status or anything else. It's none of your business.
It's taboo now, Eileen, but 20 years ago, you know, it was not, you know, when you saw people get married and, you know, pretty shortly after the honeymoon, there'd be, any news? You know, that question that just kind of hung in the air.
Yeah, indeed. And it's interesting, though, if you're a person who is not married or not in an intimate relationship, those questions aren't asked. And sometimes there's a lot of assumptions made that it's a lifestyle choice, that you don't want to have children. And I think that the grief and sometimes, you know, not only the uncertainty, I think sometimes, you know, we're presented with the idea that you're either kind of like happily child free or you're desperately unhappily not parenting. And I think actually many women find themselves at different points along that spectrum at different times in their life, that there's a bit more to it in terms of actually figuring out what you want. And if you acquire a life that doesn't involve having children and it wasn't something you chose, how do you make a life that you can enjoy and feel glad
about? And the text screen has just
actually, if I could just If I could just pick up on what Eileen said there, like I could meet somebody tomorrow who, you know, I think I'm probably still quite capable of having a baby. I could meet somebody tomorrow who was like, oh, I really want to have children. I really want to have children with you. And I could go, actually, okay, I do want, like, it's not like now I've made my decision, I will never have children. I know people who said, I don't want to have children, and now happily have children.
But there is a biological reality. I remember speaking to a midwife from Belfast. He said to me, Gerald, there's girls that come in here with bodies of 20-year-olds, but their eggs aren't 20. And that kind of realisation, so many texts, Claire says, assuming most people who have children actually wanted them, how is that somehow unselfish? If having or not having children is what you want, then neither is that selfish or unselfish than any other choice. Another says, it's great to hear a positive discussion from women who don't want to have children. And the pressure on child-free women to explain why they don't have children is extreme in this country. And there is an interesting, Eileen, cultural aspect to it, you know, particularly when you look at areas, you know, like South Korea and other parts of Asia where their fertility rates are plummeting. And a lot of it is because young people, men and women, are eschewing the rites of passage of meeting, marrying or not marrying, or having children, or even when they do, having fewer. You know, and you've seen studies in the US where people in their 20s are having less sex than they did 20 or 30 years ago. Is there something that is changing in the culture where people are saying, you know, I can have a life's purpose without it being that, because there's such a cultural pressure around the family?
I think that probably that is the case, you know, that more people feel, and certainly as these conversations begin to happen and happen more frequently, more people will become aware that there are other options available. And I think, you know, part of what makes can make this transition difficult for women is that there are very few, if you like, kind of places where you can hear these kinds of discussions. What's it like? How do you make a life that's, if you like, good and fulfilling and rewarding and connected? How can you create a family which is maybe a little bit different to what you grew up in or what you might have been expected of you when you were earlier, younger.
And Eimear, look, I mean, when you look at Ireland, which, you know, used to be number one in the fertility league, has dropped to about three. But even with all of the times when we had much larger families, there was always quite a significant proportion of people in Ireland, male and female, who didn't have children. You know, childlessness was and remains, you know, a phenomenon. And one of the things that's striking me as I'm sitting here looking at us, maybe it's a question of balance, but there are three child-free women having this discussion, and or childless, or a person who doesn't parent, although as a twin I feel as if I am a little bit of a co-parent, and children are a big part of my life. But there's, you know, even some of the questions, you know, coming in here now is you know, about that. One caller says, I don't have children and I sometimes worry about the future and I worry about loneliness, you know, and, you know, for example, she said, I've spent a visiting a nursing home in recent years and I see a lot of people who have no visitors, although that can happen when you have children or not. But even on that whole issue about men are not scrutinised to the same way that we are if we don't have children.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it makes sense in one way because biologically we're the ones who have the children. So, I mean, the onus is on women and people who are able to get pregnant to, you know, go ahead and do that. I think just to pick up there on what you said about the loneliness and that, like, I feel as a woman, as the youngest girl in a family, and I know a lot of other people, there's a lot of pressure on women particularly to look after older relatives or siblings.
As the caregivers.
Yeah, and I definitely have had people say to me, but who's going to look after you when you're older if you don't have children? And it's like, well, A, I think it's very problematic to assume that a person's children is, you know, beholden to look after them into their old age or into their kind of palliative care or whatever. Like, we need, and I think Eileen is doing work around this, we need to come up with a different way of thinking around that, because it's just not okay. Like, it kind of sets this dread on top of people. And I'm not saying everyone would dread looking after their family as they get older, but it's not something that anyone would skip into, I don't think. And it's not.
But Eileen, it's something, though, it's often joked, you know, take care of your children, they'll choose your nursing home in the future, you know. But that is, you know, just that sense of, well, if it's not a relationship and if not the children, then what is it? Like this, I think that people are more empowered now to say that there is a purpose to life other than that.
Sorry, could you say the question again?
That increasingly people, perhaps maybe even this conversation, is a reflection that we are now finally able to say, well, if it is not children, it's not a relationship, well, then there is more, you can create a meaningful life. without what perhaps the majority have.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the problems, you know, when I think back to my late 30s and my 40s, my early 40s, one of the problems is there wasn't an availability of, if you like, kind of like narratives. There were very few people who were, if you like, kind of role models or mentors or in the public eye who were able to, if you like, kind of like describe and articulate how you do that. And I think, you know, I would encourage any listeners, you know, here this morning who are maybe finding themselves in that place where they're not sure, where they're kind of worried about the future, reach out to find your, you know, find older people around you who are living happy single lives or solo lives or lives without children.
And how are they doing it?
Because we need to hear a lot more from those people.
The text messages, a lot of people saying, texting the line from Dinny to Miley and Glenroe, is there anything stirring? there was another says, I was questioned for years over marriage. Then it was about children and what was wrong. And it was the most demeaning form of life to live, said one caller, Emma. Another said, it's not for me. I've known since I was 13. I never wanted kids. This caller has a neurodevelopmental disorder and knew she wouldn't cope. She said, she's no regrets. She's happily married. Neither of them wanted kids. And she said, I'm glad most people are now seem to accept that some people just don't have it. Peter says, I'm surprised we seldom hear of the male experience of people who'd like to have children, but for one reason or another, can't or haven't.
Yeah, I have a friend who's, you know, very happily married, and I know that her husband was very instrumental in them having children, them having more than one child, and then going on and having several children. And I had never really thought about men wanting it the same way women are supposed to want it. And I mean, that was quite recently that I learned that about his, you know, his kind of proactiveness in terms of having children. And it definitely made me think more about it, and that men also have broodiness and they also have a want to have children. And it's not all about, you know, what women want and what women, you know, I'm very much pro-choice, what women do with their bodies. But some men do really hanker after having children and can't or don't.
Yeah, there can be equally. Another says, I'm with the opposite of a presumptive pregnancy talk. I always remember after getting married in our early 40s, my blunt aunt saying we'd be able to afford lots of holidays with no kids and good two incomes. And she said, I bit my lip from telling her how expensive three rounds of unsuccessful IVF was. What's interesting, Eileen, about Jennifer Aniston is that, you know, so much we just hear the successful IVF stories, the struggle and then the twins at the end, or the struggle and that. But this was Jennifer Aniston, and she, it was interesting because she spoke of her relief now that, you know, that was out of the way. But it wasn't a success for her. One of the most successful, most recognisable people on the planet. And it wasn't a success for her. And I thought there was something really powerful in that she was coming out and not saying this is a fairy tale Hollywood story.
Mm-hmm. It's so true, you know, and I suppose it, you know, in the last 10 years I would have met many women who've been through IVF treatment or fertility treatments and for whom it hasn't been a success and for whom it has left a huge financial burden and maybe kind of closed off other options that would that they would have been able to do with their time or money had they not chosen to take IVF. But I could relate to her in terms of the relief, you know, like when the, you know, for me that sense.
Once a decision is made either for you or by you, it's like,
it's over. And now you're free to move on and to move into the next part of your life and to imagine and invent a life that's going to fit and suit you, you know, as you move forward into your middle years.
There's a synergy there even with her age and those years and menopause, and many countries speak of that relief. There is something I want to throw at you, Emer, because it is so, so true. One of our callers says, Derval, it isn't my husband standing beside me in the kitchen scrutinising my fertility. No, he's making my breakfast. It was always women who scrutinised my fertility. And when we speak of the scrutiny on Jennifer Aniston and on others, it was women's magazines.
Yeah.
It was women and, you know...
I mean, you can definitely point to women as driving that tabloid culture and driving and doing it now even. And I think some people, like I myself, would take a step back and go, I definitely was driving, you know, the websites and the magazines that were printing those stories about Jennifer Aniston. But taking it away from Hollywood and back, you know, into my own life, I sometimes think and have felt that some of the scrutiny coming from women, particularly those who have children and are struggling with parenting, is that they look at me and say,
it's well for you.
I didn't realise that that was a choice for me. I think some people go into it and they go, this is just what you do. You get married, you get into a relationship or you have a baby and that's it. And then they look at someone who hasn't done it and they say, she's doing it. That's a choice. I didn't realise it.
Where I thought you were taking that conversation was, you know, sometimes I've had going, well, it's well for you. You can head off.
It's
not well for you. And sure, and like, and we're exhausted.
Yeah,
I'm exhausted.
I suppose,
and
it is a version of that.
But do we set each other up, Eileen and Emer, you know, as women kind of against that, you know, because sometimes even women who maybe think they're supporting other women, think that you're doing this because of a selfish reason, career choice, and you go off and do that, and they don't know that you could be looking at them longingly going, oh, I'd love to say I had a sleepless night because it was a child in my arm. Look, I mean, we seem, Emer, to compete.
Yeah, and I don't know if there's any solution to that, because I look at my friends who have children sometimes and I'm like, look at the love that's in their lives. Look at how full their lives are going to be. Look forward 10 years when their children are older and they're this gorgeous, happy family. And I know they look back at me going, look at her, she can skip off on a weekend away or go to the cinema, you know, at 5 o'clock on a Saturday, no problem. So I think society needs to support both sides of the story. Like, I don't know how we will get there. It will take a long time. But I don't think there's, I think with the pandemic, we saw a lot of it. There was very little support for people who were at home with small children. There was very little support for people who were at home on their own. And both sides felt, you know, both left out, both sides were saying we're worse off. And I just don't know what the solution is.
Well, note to Brendan, you have a big, big topic to come back to because there are so many, like, just a hint maybe of some of the other messages we've been getting. Hello, everyone, a great discussion. But as a woman with three kids, I got the same intrusion into my fertility. I think women are damned if they do and damned if you don't. Men never get the same level of nosiness in their lives. Another says that the assumption is, and I've experienced this myself, that you're selfish and careerist, and we suffer the silent judgment of mothers frequently. This caller said, the assumption we have no idea and haven't felt this special deep human gift and selfless burden that we are somehow less. And Eileen, there is something about that because, you know, everybody's experience is different, but you had that broodiness, you had that grieving process, you know, so you kind of had to pass that over in order to get on to the next stage of your life.
Yeah, you know, that is something that I felt very intensely for a couple of years, you know, again, late 30s, early 40s. But that's something that for me has completely passed. So I remember worrying, you know, during those years that I'd never heard anyone describe, you know, a single life, a life without children into kind of like, you know, 50s, 60s and beyond. And I assumed I was going to be left with this feeling of, if you like, kind of guilt, shame, feeling that I'd failed, feeling that I'd never kind of like have kind of like, you know, intimacy and love and a family kind of feeling, you know, for the rest of my life. And part of the problem was that conversations like this were not happening 10 years ago. And I'm like celebrating that we're here this morning, you know, talking about this and, you know, from different perspectives and with different experience. And what we need a lot more people, because we have just two stories, but there are many to be told. And I look forward to hearing more.
And we're getting so many of those stories. And there's one caller, Emer, who says, I'm nearly 40. I'm in a situation where my husband wants children more than I do. We've had three rounds of unsuccessful IVF. Our sex life is difficult. It's very hard for them as a couple. She said, it's great to hear you discuss it. Another says, hi there. One of the worst things for me is the stony, embarrassed silence that exists when I answer no to the question, do you have any children? It is like I have admitted to a heinous crime. And that's for Emer. Before we just wrap to the ads, what advice would you give to your younger self?
Oh, in regards to children?
Yeah.
I would say, do exactly what I did. Like, I think I feel very lucky in that I didn't feel that very intense, I really need to have children, I'm going to throw money at IVF, or I'm going to try and go down that road. Or, you know, I feel very lucky that wasn't the way, because I've seen how heartbreaking it can be. So I don't know, it's a bit of a cop out, but I would say maybe just do what I did.
Yeah. And Eileen, finally, there and I know you're doing some work around this, there is life for those who do not have children.
There is life. And what I would say, my advice to my younger self would be, it's all good. If you have kids, it's good. If you don't have kids, it's also good. In fact, it's great. And, you know, keep an eye, find older people. Also find people who are a little bit further down the line than you. How are they doing it? How are they living? How are they living full and happy lives? Find your solo crush and go in that direction.
The screen, every time you use, hit a raw nerve and the whole thing just goes ballistic. We could spend the entire rest of the morning and afternoon talking about this, but I'm going to have to let you go. Eileen Riley and Emer McGlaister, thank you so much, and let's take a quick break.
Text 51551. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.